Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio. Every week, Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now, your host, Jason Miller.
My special guest today is Dawn Leaf, the Deputy Chief Information Officer at the Labor Department. Dawn, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I'm actually excited and looking forward to it.
For you, it's been about almost 2 years since you came to labor from NIST. Just talk about your transition a little bit back to labor.
When I served as the senior executive for cloud computing at NIST, I actually worked in the Information Technology Laboratory, which is not part of the Commerce or NIST OCIO organization. ITL is one of several laboratories at NIST, such as engineering, physical measurement, nanoscale science, neutron research. So the focus in a laboratory setting is really on research and strategic initiatives like the one we worked on to help the U.S. federal government broaden its adoption of cloud. For me personally, it was a great career development opportunity because coming from another IT management position into the NIST laboratory, I was able to really expand my skills and experience. And as an executive, you don't always have opportunities to really broaden your skills. Sometimes you apply the same skills in different organizations or different applications, but you don't really get a chance to do different things. So at NIST, I got exposure to a scientific community, working with people who spent their lifetimes really in developing strategic goals and objectives. And I got to work with the international community, standards groups, industry, federal, state, and local governments, and to do outreach. And I guess the point there is that I think made me better prepared when I came back into a line IT management function. The transition back is pretty easy. I have the same skills I had before, only better, but I did get a fresh perspective. So it was just a matter of taking that strategic view and now applying it in the trenches here at Labor.
I've always said when I come back to my second life, I want to be a NIST scientist because I think you guys, when you were over there and the current folks over there have some of the coolest jobs that are out there. I mean, I'm just not, that's not my skills. But when my other life, when I come back, that's what I'll do. So when you came back and you talk about the transition's been pretty easy because you had the same skills, is labor that much different? Has things changed, during those few years that you were at NIST, that you were kind of out of that CIO, deputy CIO role?
There were a few new initiatives, but I was pretty close to those because when I was at NIST on the cloud program, I was still working with OMB, with the US CIO, with the CIO Council. So, I was aware of the trends, even though I wasn't necessarily directly responsible for implementing them. One of the things that is interesting to me, because I had spent some time as a Bureau CIO at the Bureau of Industry and Security at Commerce, and then as the Commerce Deputy CIO and CTO, is that there are a lot of similarities between Commerce and Labor. They both are traditionally very federated in terms of IT organization, where each bureau or sub-agency has its own IT shop. In both places, we are looking to consolidate the infrastructure and enterprise applications where there are economies of scale. So a lot of the same dynamics apply. And I guess one point I would make is that when you are trying to economize at a department level, or for that matter at a federal level, over the years in the smaller agencies or organizations, they've really suboptimized. Right, because they are allocating their resources in a very specific way that makes the most sense for that particular mission. So it's a very natural trade-off in terms of going to optimization at the broader level, and you are going to accomplish the same things and do it differently. So it's a very real technical and organization change and process you have to work through. Last point I would make is when I worked at the Smithsonian as the CTO there, that's very much like a NIST environment. You know, it's an academic environment. And of course, I spent over 20 years in the private sector before I even came to the government, focusing on programs and large integrated systems, which is a whole nother cultural dynamic. So you really do, I think, and everybody does this, pick up certain aspects in each place you work, then you apply to the next place.
Since you had some experience and saw some similarities, was there a huge learning curve to say, okay, well, now how do I apply technology to what labor is trying to focus on versus how I apply technology to what Commerce or Smithsonian or even Bureau of Industry Security, what their mission was?
There are more similarities than differences. So Commerce has the Census Bureau. Labor has the Bureau of Labor Statistics. They're both really statistical agencies. The Bureau of Industry and Security, where I served as a CIO, has an enforcement function. It has the same sort of assessments, in that case, of external vendors, industry that supply services, and in that case, dual-use product monitoring, you know, to make sure that exporters are, in fact, complying with U.S. guidelines and rules on export control. And that's the same thing within labor. We have many agencies where their job is to help ensure that, first of all, it's communicated, but that industry is complying with regulations on mine safety or occupational safety or, you know, pension management. So the function is similar, even though they are very, in one sense, specialized missions, and you do need specific mission support systems, applications for each. I think there are more similarities than differences.
Let's just talk real quick about the makeup of your CIO office at Labor. How many federal employees, how many contractors, and of course, everyone's interested in the money. So what is your IT budget for 2014?
It's important to understand that DOL is still moving from a federated environment. And if you look at our enterprise roadmap, you'll see that each year, and this has been true since 2012, DOL has a goal to integrate the infrastructure organization as well as the technical resources to consolidate and more efficiently manage the infrastructure. So that means is that even though in the OCIO, we support about 14,000 of the total 17,000 end users, you know, federal and contractor staff at Labor. We still do not centrally manage all IT resources. With that said, the overall IT budget for Labor is not so different in 14. Of course, we won't have the final numbers till the end of the year, but it's not so different in 14 than it was in 13, where the budget was about $517 million for all IT, for all agencies. And that is not very different from the 2010 through 2012 annual $500 million figure that was referenced in the OIG report that you had sent ahead as read-ahead material. Labor, actually, according to the OMB figures, has one of the lowest IT budget to overall department budgets among the 24 or so federal agencies that OMB evaluated as part of their benchmark program. And what that means to us is a couple things. We're about 50% below the median spending for these federal agencies. So we have a backlog. We basically, DOL has been unable historically to secure the funding for IT investment that certainly would have been optimal. But it does position us really well in two ways. One is that for every dollar we spend on IT, because we're so low on the diminishing return curve, we get a tremendous bang for our buck, a tremendous return. And we saw that with our cloud email deployment. It also means that we have a lot of, you know, opportunity to change. IT can really be a game changer for DOL, because our people do as well as they can with the tools they have, but there's tremendous potential to use IT to improve how our staff and all of our agencies are able to perform. So it's, in a way, it's a good position to be in, because you can only go up from there.
So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll jump into maybe some older priorities, and then we'll jump into some new ones. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Don Leaf, the Deputy Chief Information Officer at the Labor Department. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Don Leaf, the Labor Department's deputy CIO. Now, Don, before break, we're talking a lot about your transition to labor from NIST. We're talking about your budget a little bit. $500 million, nothing to sneeze at. But as you said, you're on the low end of maybe the 24 CFO Act agencies. But I do want to jump into some older priorities. When I had, your predecessor, Tom Wiesner, on my show back in 2011, he talked about a few things that were priorities at the time. One of those was data center consolidation. About 60 or 70 data centers was on the potential closure list in the D.C. area. Did that happen? Give me just the overall status of that data center consolidation effort.
So far, the Department of Labor has closed 18 data centers. One of those is a core data center, which is in alignment with our plan based on the enterprise roadmap and our information resources management plan. We actually opened the consolidated DOL data center in the Bike Ridge facility in Silver Spring on Memorial Day weekend in 2013. You can make your numbers go up quickly if all you're trying to do is hit the numbers. And you can do that by basically forklifting systems from one building or location to another without really improving their function, without virtualizing them, without sharing resources or improving your overall posture. We have been making sure that we do both at the same time, that before we move anything to the new data center, that we've modernized it, that we have virtualized it, that we've considered whether we should even move it, whether in fact it makes more sense to outsource it or move to a shared service. So that would be one point and lesson learned. Another thing is that we have been able to really satisfy a lot of objectives that the DOL staff asked for at the same time as part of the consolidation, but outside as well.
So one thing that you bring up, the forklift piece, because I know that's something that I've heard Steve Van Rogel, the federal CIO, talk about that they just didn't want agencies to do. When you're going through that process, what are you looking at? Are you looking at the types of things that's in the data center? Are you looking at the age, for instance, of the applications and the servers?
Absolutely. We look at not only the age of the applications, but another thing that you learn when you're actually doing the consolidation is that an assumption that the organization may have that the systems and equipment that you're picking up have been well maintained. And that is not always the case. And it's not that the organizations don't have good intention. It's just going back to that number about the ratio of IT spending to overall budget. When you're running at that low level, which we are at DOL, at that 3.3% level, they have not always been able to maintain the systems or modernize them in the time frame that was optimal. So the first thing we do is make sure that it's supportable. To be really blunt about it, we want to make sure it's stable, you know, that we don't disrupt it in moving the function. We've hit telecommunications, old telecommunications constraints, for example, in OSHA, where they communicate with the states, where they had very old technologies and communications methods in place. In some cases, the agencies had not yet virtualized. So the first thing we do is to, in fact, virtualize the machine, the application, before we even move it. Another thing we look at is, are we using, and this is really important, the same network and security infrastructure? Even something as simple as virus detection software, just by standardizing, you save $400,000 out of the box, because even if you don't have reduced license cost, which you do, you have to pay extra support people, extra contractors, the more unnecessary differentiation that you have in your product. So we standardize before we move it as well.
You said you found some older technology, some things that didn't catch up. What's the best thing you found? Did you find anything in COBOL, anything that still uses punch cards?
We found some, let me put it this way. We found machines that were so old that you could not get service contracts or parts.
So they were still using 3.5 or 5.25 floppies?
So not necessarily the, not the desktop.
Not the desktop.
That machine at that level. But it just really, we had stuff we had to update. And I say that with the knowledge that probably there are very few agencies, or for that matter, private sector organizations that don't have a few of those kinds of cats and dogs laying around.
We talk to SSA, for instance, all the time, and they are very proud of their COBOL machines that are still running, and they bring people out of retirement to help fix or keep their COBOL up and running. So it's not unusual for, you know, as you said, when you're moving data centers and moving technology to find old stuff, but it's always interesting what you find.
Yep, that's an understatement.
Well, along with that data center effort, you were talking a little bit about rationalizing cybersecurity software. Are you also rationalizing software more broadly to say, okay, how many licenses do we really need and how can we save more money? Because you said that $400,000 out of the box just to say we're going to standardize on virus detection software, just so everyone has the same version number, is huge.
Well, it is, and we are doing that. One of the efforts, not directly related to the data center consolidation, but related to standardization, is that when DOL completed its big push to get off the XP machines, which we were working on that for about a year throughout the DOL agencies, but also something to remember, it's not a unique case, but it's a somewhat special requirement for DOL. Most of our staff is in the field. Over 50% of our staff do not work in the DC area. They're spread out over 536 office locations throughout the U.S. I know that because I know how many Verizon circuits we have. We have 536. So that's a challenge right there, to be able to administer that, even the desktop, and even standardize those. And it's a prerequisite, right? Because before we went to cloud email, we had to basically get everybody at least on Windows 7 to be able to move to the 365 environment. So that is a tremendous cost saving, because once you get through that, once you've standardized, then you really reduce your manual labor hours that you need to just be able to research what's on the machine, the data that's on the machine, the applications that have been loaded, if there isn't a standard image and configuration. Tremendous potential improvement. And of course, then when you get those labor resources freed up, you can do the more advanced things that you want to do to support the agencies.
When you said you moved to XP over the last year, I think a lot of agencies had to move off by, I think April was the time frame. Do you have any data yet on savings, or how many apps you ended up getting rid of, or how many duplicative systems that you ended up getting rid of?
We don't have hard numbers on that. I mean, we know just intuitively and inherently by what we went through to get the agencies off of XP that there were tremendous inefficiencies. So bottom line, the next time we do an upgrade, we're much better positioned to do it in an automated fashion where we don't have to chase down all those idiosyncrasies of individual users and individual offices and locations. I think where we will really see it is the next time that we do our upgrade.
One other older priority I wanted to touch base with you on is cybersecurity. Specifically, in 2011, when I was talking to the Labor Deputy CIO, they were talking about the Trusted Internet Connections Initiative and finalizing a service contract around that. Obviously, TIC has been in place now for several years. Talk about that as part of your whole cybersecurity plan and other newer initiatives such as continuous diagnostics and mitigation.
The Department of Labor, as does all federal organizations, have a better security posture because of the Trusted Internet Connection Program. What we have found is, like all things, there are pros and cons. We have a tremendously improved security posture. It does make the management of your telecommunications, your network performance more complex, because you're really relying on that provider to make sure that they're implementing MTIPs in such a way that it does not affect, you know, your performance. And we work through that. It's just something to be aware of. It's not really a negative. We are taking advantage of the tools available from DHS for continuous diagnostics and mitigation. And I think that goes, stepping back for a moment to the conversation we just had, that really goes hand in hand with the standardization. Because you need to be standardized to deploy and to use those tools. You need to understand what you have and deploy the agents to use those tools throughout your environment. So those are really complementary initiatives. And we are strengthening IT security at DOL. We are expanding our Security Operations Center capabilities. So it's clearly for us, like everyone, it's a high priority area.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break and come back. Maybe we'll have one more cybersecurity question, and then we'll jump into some of your newer priorities. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Don Leaf, the Labor Department's Deputy Chief Information Officer. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Don Leaf, the Deputy CIO of the Labor Department. Now, Don, before break, we're talking a lot about your older priorities at the Labor Department. Let's talk about your new priorities. What are you hoping to get done over the next 6 or 9 months?
We are applying the lessons learned from our infrastructure consolidations in 2012 and 2013 and this year to our planning for the additional agency infrastructure organizations this year. And our roadmap plan is the MSHA and ETA organization and infrastructure consolidation. And there were a lot of moving parts to that because you're changing the organization, you're changing the technology, you're doing that at the same time you're identifying and applying new technology. And of course, each agency historically in the federated model has been at a different place in terms of where they were in implementing capabilities, in addition to, of course, potentially having different products or services. So just making sure that that is working optimally as the foundation for everything else we do is a big deal. We are also working on a network and security infrastructure overhaul. As you move to outsource services, whether they're the cloud model or not, you have to rely more and more on a well-performing network and security infrastructure. So we completed some assessments and we're doing some redesign and improvements there. We have as our most exciting initiative, and it's in the proposed 2015 budget, although that is, of course, uncertain, is a digital government integrated platform. And this is really a set of services that each one of our agencies need in order to expand mobile computing and open data capabilities. So the idea there is that we integrate and provide those services once, and the types of services would be data modeling, metadata modeling, data warehouse, repository, digital asset management for audio, video, images, mobile device management, mobile computing platforms, all of those things. We realized in 2015 budget planning that we can actually save 50% of the proposed agency individual IT initiatives if we build the platform once, integrate it once. And by building, it may be outsourced. I'm not implying that DOL would build it internally. And then the agencies would develop their mission apps on top of that. And that's really a game changer. That's where we would give new capabilities to the DOL staff they don't have now. And then we've got a list of smaller ones, just a lot of just basic foundation improvements, including strengthening our organization and participating in the 508 Trusted Tester Program with DHS. Just a lot of fundamental, making the overall technology foundation stronger.
So I want to go back to the first one you mentioned about the infrastructure consolidation. So basically, the way you described it early on in our conversation is the way labor grew up in the technology world. Each of the bureaus kind of developed their own IT infrastructure, and then headquarters kind of maybe oversaw it from a standards or maybe an enterprise architecture perspective. And what you're trying to do is basically follow the maybe not cloud first policy, but at least the policy from OMB that says, you know, shared services, which is what are the things we all do the same? And let's have that from a centralized perspective. And then the things we do maybe differently, we can kind of build on top of that platform. Is that the theory behind the infrastructure consolidation?
That's exactly it. You're looking for economies of scale and standardization. And historically, DOL had not standardized. There's a basic improvement right there. One of the points that I think one wouldn't consider superficially is that in addition to the actual technology integration, each agency will be at a different place in a timeline. So, for example, DOL had some agencies that applied unified communications, although they applied it differently. Some did not. And we need that for integrated voice response. We have cases where different agencies had used different contracts, and there are timelines associated with those. You can't simply say, for instance, when you consolidate to help desk, that tomorrow I'm going to use a different provider and they're going to support all the agencies and the old contracts go away. There's a lot of sequencing and logic that you need to apply when you do that, in addition to just choosing a target technology and moving to that as you hit tech refresh cycles with the individual agencies or systems.
How many bureaus are you doing? Because, I mean, you're doing all the bureaus, I imagine, but how many you seem to be doing? Are you doing two a year? Are you doing three a year? It all depends on the size of the bureau and where they're at from a technological standpoint.
DOL originally in 2011 and 12 had 9 separate infrastructures supporting, say, roughly 20-some agencies. In the initial infrastructure integration, which started in 2012, a single infrastructure organization, IT organization that supported 4 of our agencies was consolidated with what was the old Information Technology Center to form the office of the CIO and this new department-level integrated infrastructure. OSHA was started in the 2013 timeframe and is being completed now. We do project about 2 a year. It does differ depending on the scope. I should mention that that first infrastructure integration changed the number of end users that what is now the OCIO supported from roughly 4,000 to 12,000. So we really rapidly spun up. When we take on the ETA and MSHA infrastructures this year, we'll go up to over 14,000 of the 17,000 DOL end users that we support. So you see that we're getting to the end of the curve and next are doing some smaller agencies that maybe have some additional unique requirements. So even though they're smaller, they're not necessarily easier. And our goal is to finish all of them, to have a single consolidated infrastructure in 2016 per the enterprise roadmap and the plan that's been published for a couple of years.
Just by moving, going from 4,000 to 12,000 and then eventually up to 14,000 this year, you must be seeing huge benefits. I mean, not just from a cost perspective, but just from a standardization perspective, a security perspective. Where are some of the biggest benefits that you're already seeing?
Couple of years to really see the cost benefits, because again, you've got lagging contracts, you replace equipment and service contracts on a tech refresh basis. But what we're really seeing is improvements in our capability, our ability to respond and support. I do not think that DOL would have been able to accomplish the enterprise migration from 9 legacy email systems to a single commercial federal community cloud service provider in 13 and 14 if we hadn't laid all that groundwork. I don't think that we would have been able to migrate our HR system to a Treasury shared service, our acquisition system to an externally hosted commercial cloud provider if we had not really improved our overall organization capabilities to execute that. So you see not just the small component savings and time, savings and duration savings, but you also see an improvement as you change to an organization that is really commensurate with supporting a cabinet level department agency. It's a lot. I've said it several times, but you're really changing a lot of things at once, culture as well as the technical skill base and just your capacity.
In the meantime, it's like, you've heard this analogy many times, changing the tire while the car is still moving. You got to keep all the other systems up and running. You got to continue to meet your mission, serve both agency customers and obviously the citizens. So that makes things even more complicated. So it sounds like you guys are moving in a pretty good direction. I mean, how challenging has this been just from a management perspective? Because as you said earlier, you have to line things up. There's a lot of logistics that have to happen.
There are 2 advantages that we have at Labor that I have not always witnessed in all other organizations that I've worked and that I don't think are universal. We have tremendous executive level support. from the assistant secretary and CIO that I work for, Michael Kerr, the deputy secretary, the secretary. They understand the importance of IT as really being a game changer. So we have tremendous support for the consolidation and for improving technology. That's one. And then the other thing I will say, still not having been at the Department of Labor too long, still having a fresh set of eyes, is that we have basically a pretty collaborative environment. I mean, change is hard for the agencies as they see their IT resources shifted. We have an Enterprise Implementation Council, sort of a steering committee that all the agencies participate in. We work on initiatives like the Digital Government Integrated Platform that was defined because we took a look at the individual agency IT proposals. We came up with a concept for how we could save the department money and provide these capabilities. And the agencies were pretty open and willing to support that. So that really helps with the moving parts piece.
I want to jump to another priority that you mentioned as well. I want to talk a little bit about the digital integrated platform. I know you said it's really relying on 2015 budget dollars. So, but one of the things that's interesting is you have to set yourself up. You can't start from scratch today, you know, on October 1st or whenever the Congress gets around to passing a budget and then go. What are you doing in the meantime? Are you looking at acquisition strategies? Are you looking at putting pieces in place today that will kind of in the agile iterative software development type of approach to say, okay, so if and when we do get the money, then we're ready to really start running?
Yes, to all those things. So when we developed the concept for the digital government integrated platform and the proposal, even in 15, part of what went into that was not just bottoms up planning and, you know, surveys, but we actually have staff, either federal or through contractor access, who have implemented some of these capabilities in other federal agencies. So we have a good basis of estimate and a good experience base that especially applies in the area of mobile device management and the network and security infrastructure overhaul. So we had that. We also have some pilots and prototypes. For example, the data analytics component of the digital government integrated platform was one where we stood up a pilot even in the end of 13 and have been running it in 14. We are completing the target architecture for DOL and the proposed standards, and we're doing that based on the capabilities we need first. I mean, the IT space is so broad that I think it's not reasonable for any organization to pretend they can throw a bunch of smart people in a room and come up with the target architecture. What you do is you focus on what you need first. So we need mobile computing, we need mobile device management, we need an ability to develop a cross-department data model and metadata model. So we are defining all those things so that when and if we get the funding, we can go right out of the box. And if we don't get the funding, we would still pursue it, but much more slowly.
All right, well, let's take a quick break and then we'll come back. We'll talk about some other important topics, specifically maybe your financial management system and what's going on there. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Dawn Leaf, the Labor Department's Deputy CIO. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Dawn Leaf, the Labor Department's Deputy CIO. But Dawn, before break, we talked a lot about your new priorities. One of them that you didn't mention, but I know it's going on, is the Labor Department's financial management system upgrade. You guys had outsourced it to a company at one time, and I know that there was an RFI or an RFP that went out recently to look at upgrading it and changing it. And I know it's a little bit outside your realm because it's a CFO position, but I know the Labor Department's CIO works closely with the CFO. So I thought maybe you could just give me, from a technology perspective, where you guys seem to be heading with financial management.
This is a fairly procurement-sensitive planning stage for that project. But what I can tell you is that the goal is to migrate to a federal shared service.
And I know that they renamed, I guess, three of them and renamed a new one. So I guess that's something we will have to look out for as things move forward. Is there anything timing you can talk to, or is that still in the sensitive planning stage?
I think that it's not appropriate to talk about it at this time.
All right. One of the other things that came up as I was doing a little bit of research is looking at Inspector General report from March that talked about IT investment controls. You guys got a little, maybe a wrist slap from the IG saying you guys could do better with your IT investment controls. Talk about how you're implementing those IG recommendations over the last, you know, 3 or 4 months.
I'm actually happy to speak to that because that is a place where I know that I assessed when I came on board at Labor, and I know that the Deputy Secretary and my boss, the Assistant Secretary and CIO, agree that we want to actually improve program management across the board at DOL for all investments. And I would argue that it's not bad now in the sense that we completed all of the projects that we had outlined for this last fiscal year that I mentioned, the data center consolidation, cloud email, AMS, and HR. They were all successful. But for all of our investments, we believe that we can and should apply more due diligence. One of the things that we used for the projects I mentioned is a program review board process. This is something that we've added within the last 18 months to strengthen how we apply the software development lifecycle methodology with a real technical review, a substantive technical review, not just a financial or fiscal review. We also are adding an independent verification and validation function. That's something that we learned from those projects in 2012 and 13, which is regardless of whether it's a federal shared service or a commercial service, migrating and or acquiring and implementing IT services, it's not like buying a chair. I mean, there's still a tremendous amount of program management effort, transition planning, communication planning that has to be done within the department, and having an independent verification and validation function for a major effort like that is well worth the target, and I would argue that it's a 10% target that we identify as part of the overall project planning up front. We had a few hiccups that we could have avoided with IV&V.
You know, you mentioned earlier an Enterprise Implementation Council around the consolidation effort. How does that play into kind of a broader role in terms of bringing in some of the bureau level CIOs and IT managers when you're making decisions? Do you kind of have a multi-level governance council?
The Enterprise Implementation Committee is part of IT governance at DOL, as is IT Acquisition Review Board and IT Spend Planning that we do each year as part of the budget process. And of course, all of the other federal mechanisms in place, including but not limited to the dashboard. The Enterprise Implementation Committee really functions more often as a strategic sounding board. For example, when we did the planning for the Digital Government Integrated Platform, that was the forum we used to have a technical briefing and a business and technical discussion about it with all of the agencies. So it's really, as the name implies, it's to help from an agency and business perspective define how DOL can best go forward in accomplishing its IT objectives.
And one of the things that a lot of times when you talk about this enterprise review and this governance is the portfolio stat, and you're hearing that a lot from OMB. Have you guys gone through some portfolio stat reviews yet?
Our review is coming up. It's scheduled to come up at the end of this month. We, of course, have reviewed the various measures and mechanisms, and for the most part, we're in agreement with the findings. I think I've said it twice, and this will be the third time, that for DOL, our biggest challenge is that we have had a historically low IT investment rate as a percent of the overall DOL budget. So to accomplish a lot of our mission objectives and to accomplish some of the improvements that we want to make, some of which I've talked about today, we really do need, I mean, there comes a point where process improvement only gets you so far, and you really do have to make an investment, which, again, we're on the low end of the diminishing returns curve. So for every dollar we invest, we should see a pretty significant improvement.
And I think, as you talked about today as well, there's a lot of investments that are happening and a lot of improvements that are coming because you're able to save money, which actually is a perfect segue to my last question of the day, because we're almost out of time. you know, vendors listen to my show. They always want to know more about what you're planning, what you're doing. What should they know about working with your office and you and your obviously CIO, Mr. Kerr?
Our work going forward is all about the competence and capabilities and expertise and skills that our partners, industry partners, can bring to the table going forward. My shop, the OCIO shop, is about 80% contractor-based. And, of course, that fluctuates, and some of the work is outsourced, so it's not just labor hours. But we are really looking for the best skills and experience to help us, and it sounds cliched, but it's true, get the best value for the taxpayer. So you will see some procurements coming out of DOL. It's partly related to what we experienced in the infrastructure integration, where we are looking to go more to an IDIQ approach so that we're able to get resources in with the right skills quickly when we need to be flexible. And I would say just tune in to the regular standard mechanisms for seeing those. But, you know, we would appreciate any and all comers who have the right skill sets to help us out.
All right. Well, don't blame me now when your phone starts ringing off the hook or your email blows up.
Well, it's like I said, through regular procurement channels.
All right. Well, good luck with that. You let me know how that happens, and I'll be on the lookout for some of those procurements, too, as the time comes. Unfortunately, we're out of time. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today was Dawn Leaf, the Labor Department's Deputy CIO. Dawn, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Jason, thank you very much.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, Ask the CIO, Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.